This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The Turnaround Kid is back in town. Detroit News business columnist Daniel House, who is the Turnaround Kid and why is he the Turnaround Kid?
The Turnaround Kid is Robert, quote, Steve Miller, also known to everybody as Steve Miller, who was a Chrysler executive for many years and then went off and became a, kind of a crisis turnaround guy. And he did Bethlehem Steel, and he later did AIG after the meltdown. But in between, he was brought in by the board of Delphi Corporation to essentially deal with a deteriorating financial situation in about 2005. And he set a deadline as to whether or not they were going to file Chapter 11, and nobody thought they actually were going to do it. And at 8:30 in the morning on October 8th, 2005, his board, he convened a conference call, and they approved a Chapter 11 filing of the U.S. operations of Delphi. And they filed later that day, about 12:30 in the afternoon. And it was really the beginning of the recapitalization of Detroit. And if you walk it forward now, the last 10 years, you see that a lot of the things that he predicted were going to happen did in fact come true. You know, whether it was the Ford bringing in Alan Mulally to rescue Ford in 2006, or auto companies negotiating the creation of the Retiree Health Care Trust in 2007, or the bailouts in 2008 for Chrysler and General Motors, and ultimately the bankruptcy in 2009. A lot of this he saw, and at the time, he was totally ignored and vilified by the unions, by politicians for that exact, for his position, but I think he was right.
There was a pretty instantaneous and loud reaction, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can remember reading the press release that was put out by Governor Jennifer Granholm at the time. It sounded like it had been written by Solidarity House. And UAW President Ron Gelfinger frequently used the public airwaves to denounce Steve and other people in the UAW. He was saying things that nobody really wanted to hear.
Which were?
Which were that this industry was built for failure. It had a cost structure and a financial structure and so much debt that it could not ultimately succeed. And Delphi and the bankruptcy of Delphi was really the beginning of what was going to come later. And now we look at Delphi 10 years on, and it's a very different company.
Well, it certainly is. I mean, we're looking at, as you spell out in your column, you've got company shares have nearly quadrupled since 2011, and revenue last year totaled $17 billion. The dividend is steadily rising. But the thing Steve Miller said when he took Delphi into bankruptcy, what are the ways in which we can provide a softer landing for people who will be subjected to the change? And that really didn't happen, did it, for either blue-collar or white-collar workers?
Well, it happened more for the blue-collars, to be honest, and that was thanks to the Automotive Task Force of the Obama administration. The UAW, ultimately, its pensions were preserved for Delphi workers. And at the time, initially, the IUE, who are concentrated mostly in Ohio and Delphi's plants in Ohio, were left out. And as you can imagine, we're looking at a 2012 presidential reelect for President Obama. They made it very clear that if they were left out of this thing, that they would cause a lot of political problems in the state of Ohio, which as everybody knows, is critical to being elected president for either party.
Yes.
Well, lo and behold, guess what? The IUE got their pensions guaranteed as well. The people who are on the outside looking in, and still are to this day, were the salaried retirees of Delphi, many of whom worked 20 and 30 and even 40 years at General Motors, to then go work at Delphi, which was the former GM parts subsidiary, and only to find that their people they had worked alongside at GM for many, many years, they pretty much retained most, if not all, of their pensions coming out of the bankruptcy, while a lot of these people had theirs cut by substantial numbers, in some cases as much as three-quarters.
Wow, that hurts. That does hurt. And
the thing
you point out in your piece is 97% of Delphi's 160,000 employees are now working outside the U.S. The headquarters is in the U.K. You got to wonder, was there no way to achieve financial health and keep those jobs here?
Well, that's a very good question. I think one of the things that they were trying to do before the bankruptcy was to change the relationship that they had with General Motors. General Motors preferred to pay more for parts, for specific parts that were made by Delphi, than they wanted to go through the whole process of rebidding the parts and having a different relationship with different suppliers. There were a lot of lines of businesses that Delphi wanted to get out of because they saw the market changing. And the reason they're as successful as they are today is because the bankruptcy allowed them to exit those businesses that they wanted to get out of. And now they are firmly planted in what they call green, connected, engine management stuff, very high-tech kinds of things that are in demand and are very popular in the market today in terms of infotainment and cleaner-burning engines and all that kind of stuff. And they got out of making a lot of commodities that you could make anywhere around the world. That was one of the realities that Steve Miller was trying to preach to them. If we were in the right kinds of business, we could make a lot more money and be a more successful company. If we're in the wrong lines of business, we're going to continue to struggle.
And as you say in your piece, the turnaround kid is back in town. He's now, Steve Miller is running International Automotive Components, that North American office in Southfield. If I'm an employee there, do I feel good about having him there at the helm?
I think yes, I would say conditionally, because he's there for a different reason. What he has done for a lot of years is has these turnarounds, as we've been talking about, but the owners of IAC, which is currently a privately owned company, have brought him in with the expectation that he's going to take the company public through an initial public offering, which essentially is making the company more attractive, talking it up to investors, and then taking it public. He's not talking about massive restructurings at this point. In fact, IAC was a creation of various companies that kind of melted down during the meltdown, and it's on the other side of that whole ugliness.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. You'll find his piece on Steve Miller at DetroitNews.com. Thanks, Daniel.
Thanks.